Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Valley Girls Pod.
Welcome, welcome.
Welcome in.
Oh, it's like Yuki. We're in a store. Yeah. Welcome in.
This is the first intro Yuki's contributed.
No, okay.
I'm kidding.
Oh, you didn't do it last week? Oh, yeah.
No,
you
she didn't.
I have stage fright.
It's okay.
That's fair.
We're intimidating, I get
Dude,
it.
I was nervous, and I got through it, so I think next time you can do it.
We'll see.
You better prep all week for next week. Write it down, bro.
I'm speechless. That's going to be me when we start it.
Oh, my God. Okay. So this week, we're not doing obsessions. We're switching it up a bit.
Yeah, we didn't do anything interesting,
yeah,
sadly.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, so we're going to do a little rapid-fire Q&A. Okay, ladies. Do you believe in karma?
Yes.
No. Yes.
Bro, you can't change your answer.
You can't change it.
Okay, next one. Would you rather have an American or British accent?
British.
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 Although, I don't know. It sounds better on guys than girls.
That's not true. Wrong.
But it depends on like what kind of British accent. There's a lot of different kinds.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Would you ever do any cosmetic surgery?
No.
Never say never, but probably not.
Yeah. What's the one thing you would do if you had to?
A nose job.
I don't know.
Okay, no one else has any insecurities.
I mean, I have insecurities, I'm but kidding. I don't know what cosmetic surgery would fix. I don't know if it's...
Yeah, same.
I don't know if I can come back from it.
Yeah, that's like the one thing that I would consider, but I know I wouldn't ever go through with it.
I wouldn't mind the chin thing.
Ooh.
Those are cool.
Pretty common, I feel like.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't see you needing that.
But I feel like that would be... I mean, if you have a really sharp jawline, I feel like that would be like a good thing. Who knows?
Oh, you want a sharper jawline?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Next rapid question. What's your favorite candle scent?
Anything.
Anything not fruity.
Anything blue or green or white.
Yeah, that's a scent.
No, because usually those scents are like tropical, like really light. I don't like anything too heavy.
Yeah, I like a fresh linen, maybe a woodsy scent.
I like sweet ones. Like, I love a marshmallow one.
Ew, no.
Marshmallow?
Fireside, try it.
No.
If you give me, like, a vanilla cupcake candle...
Okay, not that sweet, but, like, you know, like, a good balance.
I usually find that vanilla is really not good for me.
I agree with you, Sydney. Sorry.
It's too dark.
Okay, if you won $1,000, what would the first thing you'd spend it on?
I don't know. I think I would save it. I think I'd be really bad at spending that
all
in one go.
You have to spend it on something.
$1,000 on something?
$1,000. It's not that much money.
I know, but like, I don't...
Clothes.
What store?
American Eagle.
Nordstrom, because they have everything.
This is really rapid fire. You just have to think.
Smart. You're not answering.
I would spend it on a new phone.
No, that's a good answer.
That wouldn't cover a new phone.
Yeah, $1,000?
Wait, really?
Yeah, a new phone is like $1,300.
Well, I put it towards that.
So you have extra money? Is that what you're saying?
Smar has more than $300.
So you're down to shell out $300 right now? For something.
If I had $1,000 to cover the phone, I'd put in $300. Yeah.
You're ballsy. I will say that.
Well, you mean it's a phone.
Have you ever broken the law?
Not that I know of. I don't know the intricacies of the law.
Have you ever not put on a seatbelt? Huh?
Have you ever sped?
Yeah. So exactly. Have you guys? So,
No. Never.
No.
Never.
Never.
Oh my God.
If you could only eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Ice cream.
You wouldn't go savory? For the rest of your
life?
It's
rapid fire. She said it.
Yeah.
Wow.
What would you go? What would you eat?
I don't know.
Okay, now you're not answering the question.
I think grilled cheese. Like Ooh. A really good, really crispy grilled
with
cheese.
With like butter, okay. Bread.
With butter.
Yum.
No health consequences?
Yeah, no health consequences.
Yeah.
I would go with, I don't know, pizza? Tacos. No, I would go tacos.
Another question. What is your death row meal?
Chick-fil-A. That's embarrassing.
Sydney
the guards could get you Chick-fil-A.
Huh?
I said the guards could slide you some Chick-fil-A.
They could DoorDash that, I think.
You mean I wouldn't have to be on death row to get that?
Yeah, you wouldn't have to be on death row.
Okay. So I should go more.
You should go big.
Okay.
They do that. In the Ted Bundy documentary, they talked about like what his death row meal was.
That's
and
so
everything.
Sad.
What was it?
I don't remember.
Bro.
I was hoping you wouldn't ask that.
Sorry.
No, just the
I think,
million
like,
dollar question.
It's so crazy how they let people do that, I think.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It does make sense, but it's so crazy. It's like, okay, we are going to kill you from the government, but you get to eat one last thing. And they'll literally do anything.
That's so weird. It's such a weird concept.
What if they were like really creepy and they were like a human flesh?
Jeffrey Dahmer. Oh, if they... Okay.
What if they asked for that? Would they do that?
I meant with it budget-wise. I would do like calamari.
You, of course, you would do calamari.
A little bit of this.
I don't know anybody that.
That
likes calamari as much
as
you.
I went through a phase
calamari.
When I was
so
six.
Interesting.
I literally, that was the only thing I bought at a restaurant.
I can see that. I went through that phase with Caesar salad.
Your main course at a restaurant was calamari.
You would have refined. I was like eight.
Wait, how old were you?
I was like eight.
Wow, that's really refined for an 8-year-old. Yeah. Calamari.
I think I just really liked the salt. I had no idea what it was. I don't think I knew that it was fish.
It's probably best that way. Yeah. I don't think you would have liked.
What foreign language would you want to speak and why?
Italian.
Really?
It sounds so pleasing to the ears. It just flows so well. You don't think so?
I mean, yeah, but I would probably go Spanish because of the uses.
Yes.
It's very useful.
You could travel to so many places and it would be so easy if you spoke fluent Spanish. Yeah.
Ciao.
Yuki, what would you?
Yeah, I think either Spanish or Italian. Italian, then I could speak to Ricky's family.
Oh, yeah, but... of course.
Okay, last one. Do you have any phobias?
Yeah, claustrophobia.
Really?
I didn't know that you had that.
I also didn't know you really? Had that.
Yeah.
Yeah, super.
I don't think it's ever come out.
Really?
Yeah, what happens? What? Like, do you hyperventilate?
I just get panicky.
When would we have ever been in a small space together?
An escape room?
Like, perhaps? Even sometimes elevators, if they're, like, small, like, I'll kind of get a little nervous. If there's a lot of people in an elevator, and I'm like, if this gets stuck, I will not do well. Aww. I just can't when it's, like, all... When, like, people are packed together, it just really... I don't like it.
I don't like loose hairs. That's... I don't know if that's a phobia.
I don't either. It's disgusting.
Like... If there's hair, if I see hair in the shower,
and it's before, not yours.
No, even if it's mine, but especially if it's not mine, but I have to wash it down. Like, oh, the grossest thing is like hair on my foot.
Yeah, that's so annoying.
I hate that feeling.
I don't have that fear, and I've never understood why people are so grossed out by it. Like, it's hair.
No, I can't.
Even if it's my own hair, like, I get it, it's my own hair, but...
If it's my own, I really don't care. Like, I'm not grossed out, I just clean it. But if it's someone else's, it's just...
It's so stringy.
So because it's been on someone else's head and like it's not, it's just weird.
Interesting.
What about you, bro? Any phobias?
My phobias are birds and squirrels.
Yeah, you really don't like birds. Like every time I see, today I was walking and this like flock of birds just like startled me and they like came out of the trees and I was like, oh, if Sydney was here, she would have lost it.
When I was driving in here, there are geese blocking your driveway. There's a lot of geese. I almost was like, I will never come out of my car if you guys come near me when I park.
No, those geese are chill. They're everywhere.
Geese are really aggressive. Not.
They have teeth too.
Yeah, but they see so many people here. I feel like they're so used to it.
I would move.
Well, you don't live here.
I know, but she would move, just for the record.
Okay, good to know. All right, should we get into our topic this week?
Yeah.
Cancel culture.
Go higher.
Cancel culture.
You're canceled. Yeah, Samara, I have a question.
Oh, that was very professional.
Do you know anything about the history of cancel culture?
Well, Yuki, now that you ask, I in fact do know a little bit about the history. According to some research that we did, it first started in like the 2010s via a Tumblr blog that was like, what's problematic with your favorite celebrity or something like that. Like it was a...
Your fave is problematic, something like that.
Yes, your fave is problematic. And then fandoms would discuss why their favorite stars were imperfect. So that's like where cancel culture started, which makes sense. I feel like that's literally what, or it's very close to what cancel culture is now.
It feels like it's pretty new to me as a concept, but it actually, like Tumblr, that's a throwback. It's like that's a while ago.
No, it was a decade ago.
I didn't know about cancel culture until this year, like the really? End of my senior year of college. Did you?
I mean, I guess it kind of existed beforehand, but there wasn't really a name for it. But I also think like the rise of like social media, like... Someone can be canceled and they're canceled like everywhere.
Yeah. But just the term like, oh, they're canceled. Mm. At first I would hear someone say that. And I was like, what are you? Is this like a you thing? Like, is that a word you use? And then I realized it's actually like this whole movement behind it, which I just didn't know about. So that was enlightening for me. I mean, it's hard to say like if it's good or bad. I feel like that's polarizing. But I think I don't know, maybe you guys can confidently say one way or the other what you think about it.
I think at its core, it's good because like, the main thing is someone does something wrong and you don't want them to like benefit after that, or you want people to know that what they did was like fundamentally wrong. But I think it can get a little bit extreme sometimes. Like some people won't even know why the person was canceled in the first place and they'll just kind of like bandwagon and like, I don't know, there's a limit to like how much hate you can give people on social media and stuff like that. But I think at its core it's good, like JK Rowling and stuff like that. Like mm-hmm. she made comments and then... But I don't know, a lot of celebrities are very against cancel culture, I guess because they're the ones getting canceled, but...
Yeah, I mean, it's the target is people in the public eye,
yeah.
So...
Yeah, I agree. I think at its core, the idea behind it is about accountability, and we talked about this in the influencer episode too. basically these influencers or celebrities are employed essentially by the public. And I think that sometimes they abuse their power. As people that are supporting them, we have a right to know exactly who we're supporting and what their values are. By having cancel culture, we're not going to give people support that we don't reflect what we value. Kind of pushes the needle forwards in terms of creating a celebrity landscape that is healthy.
Yeah.
But I think there are issues, of course, with the severity and how deep it goes.
Yeah, I agree. I think because there's so many different cases, there's like these really extreme cases where people will do really awful things. And that's when cancel culture is great. And it's like they should be like totally discredited for everything because of the things they've done. But there are cases that I feel like where it's just, I think it's just important not to lose the idea that we're all human and we're not perfect and we need to give other people the space to learn and grow. And I feel like if someone just says something out of place and then everybody's like, oh, they're canceled, it's like, well, okay, like how about we, like if that person is actually open to educating themselves about why what they said was wrong, well, then shouldn't we allow that to happen rather than just like cutting that person off? I mean, I just think that to me is so not productive and creating any change at all. Like, it's just kind of like, oh, well, sorry, too bad. Like, you didn't get there when we got there. So like, you're done. I think we should, again, there's like, there's a range here of what's can be like taught and what's okay and what's not okay. But I think for a lot of cases, it kind of makes me sad to just see things like people just canceled for things that I think, well, what if they're willing to change? Like, should we not give them that opportunity?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like that comes from, like, the harshness of it comes from such a long period of time where there was nothing to hold people accountable. And so now people are, like, obviously angry about it, and they obviously kind of want to get even with people that have gotten away with things, especially if it's, like, something that happened decades ago. This person has blown up for whatever reason. I can understand why people are so harsh, and whether that's right or wrong, it's, you know, yeah, up in the air, but people definitely, like, I think they just are so angry.
That's, yeah, no, totally. I agree with that. I just think that sometimes that anger could be put to, like, better purpose in a way. Like, just canceling might not solve the problem. Like, if you're angry because of, like, people's ignorance, then shouldn't we be trying to solve that ignorance rather than not doing anything about it? You know what I mean? But again, I don't know. It's hard to say because there's like a scale to it.
Yeah, it depends on the case. I think, yeah, like Sid said, it's all about accountability. Like,
yeah,
like you were saying, I was reading an article that said Jimmy Fallon, like, I guess in 2000 something, I think it was really early 2000s on SNL, like, he did a skit where he did blackface and stuff. Mm. And then people found out about it later. And then he, like, going forward, he was like, I'm so sorry about it. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. Like, what can I do? Right. Same with Justin Trudeau, which was pretty bad, right, for a president, yeah, to have that.
Right.
So it's like going forward, it's about accountability.
Exactly. Like, and if they, like, own up to it and, like, mm-hmm, things like that, then you would hope that then society is open to that, which I guess they are. If that's,
yeah,
what it's
like,
saying,
what if you're canceling someone, like, what is your end goal? Like, is it just to, like, oh, you're canceled, you're done, like, I never want to see, like, your whole platform should be, like, disintegrated?
Yeah.
Or do you actually want to create a learning experience?
Exactly. And that's where I think the line between cancel culture and activism kind of comes into play, because, you know, I think maybe some people think that cancel culture is a form of activism, but at least to me, I think it's not if it's not doing anything. Like, there's no outcome from it.
It needs to be backed up by an action. Like, you can't, yeah, just, like, cancel someone and then go along with that with your day or something.
Yeah, and also if you're isolating people or making them scared to learn and, like, make a mistake on a public platform, then those people might not be open to getting involved in things or learning about things or speaking about things, because then they might be scared that people are going to come for them if something goes wrong. And again, not to say that you shouldn't be mindful of what you're doing and saying, like, you're responsible for your actions, but if you really want to create change, then you have to let people feel comfortable exposing what their faults are so then they can then fix those faults. Because if you don't, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, if you don't know why your thinking is flawed or whatever, you're not going to go out of your way to change that.
Yeah. And I think there's a difference also between, like, just when people issue an apology, I think it says a lot about the direction that they're willing to take it. And Okay, sorry to bring this up, but a very relevant example in the Bachelor world, like, even if you don't follow it.
That's a good one.
The contestant who came under fire recently for attending racist parties and, like, saying racist things on or liking racist posts online, she issued an apology, which we actually, like, read the other day. Yeah, and yeah. I thought it seemed very genuine, and I hope that people will give her a chance. Like, you don't necessarily have to support her, but at least support the words that she was saying and hope that there's some actual intent behind them. And I think the difference between her apology and Chris Harrison, the host's, I didn't watch the interview. I'm not sure if he said he was angry at her or whatever, but the fact that he wasn't addressing the issue at its core, I think there, like, that's a very strong difference for me when you're able to say upfront what the issue was and why, and, like, moving forward, you're willing to do better. Like, he just kind of was like, this happens all the time. I feel like it's hard sometimes. Like, yeah. How do you know? How does the public know what to accept
whatnot? That's why I also think it's, like, your actions afterwards too, right? Like, you can't just issue an apology and it's, like, one and done.
Yeah.
Like, you need to somehow maybe make an effort to show that you understood why people were upset about something and you're actively trying to fix that issue, whether that's, like, reading about the issue or
donating to a cause.
To a cause, or, like, I think it's so crucial that you really dive deep into why are these people been so upset for so long, like you said, Sydney. Like, there was no accountability before, and now with all these social media platforms and things like that, we can actually realize, like, oh, like, saying something like that actually does offend somebody, but before you wouldn't know that because there's nobody to tell you that's offensive. So I think then harnessing that power to then actually, like, have a form of activism and actually learn about it and then donate, do something, and not just, oh, I'm sorry, because anybody can draft an apology, like you said, Sid. Like, you don't know
on the notes app on your
exactly.
Someone was like, that's how I know that your apology isn't genuine, which I don't know. I guess it's kind of a stereotype. They were like, if you, like, Justin Timberlake, if you issue an apology from the notes app and you wrote it at, like, 11:59 p.m., like, you're just not even thinking. At least he wrote it himself. I feel like sometimes people
Get their publicist to write it. And I mean, it can go both ways too. Like, J.K. Rowling, like, she did not apologize. That she her claws into what she believed.
Made me so sad.
Yeah. Ugh, she further invalidated people. And she also, like, wrote this entire essay, and she was like, because people were calling her out for being transphobic, which she was, and she was saying, like, you know what, it's just a trend. Like, if trans, like, if people had been talking about it, like, when I was younger, yeah, I probably would have transitioned into a male. And everyone was like, God. Wait, what?
It just gets worse and worse.
I mean, it was, like, 2 months after the whole J.K. Rowling thing blew up. Like, I posted a photo of, like, Fantastic Beasts, and someone else reposted my photo, and they're like, don't like this photo. Like, she's, like, posting about Harry Potter and stuff like that. And in my caption, I had even addressed, like, oh, how can you separate the art from the artist? Because a lot of people were saying, like,
I was about yes, to say,
what J.K. Rowling said was horrible, but Harry Potter, like, helped me become who I am, or something.
I was
like
going to say, yeah, I don't think it's fair to discredit such a huge piece of work that's impacted so many people, and it's such a cultural thing. And I think that this kind of goes back to the point that really irks me, is that I feel like we tend to see everything in black and white. Like, you're either good or you're bad. You're either, like, I can like all of you, or I have to hate all of you. When do we separate the art from the artist, or when do we realize that there's shades of gray? We don't have to, I don't know, like, I just think that's a bad way to think, because it's sort of, it makes life hard for yourself.
Yeah, and I get it. Like, if it was coming from someone, like, I had seen comments from people who, like, identified as trans, and they were saying, totally, like, oh, seeing this Harry Potter content is harmful. I totally get that. And because of that, like, I won't post.
Yeah.
But, like, going out of your way to, like, comment on people, like, oh, the photo you posted of Harry Potter is, like, is transphobic in itself, and it's horrible, and this, that, and the other. It's just,
Yeah, totally. And I'm not necessarily applying that, what I, like, said prior, to J.K. Rowling, per se, because I can't really speak to that again, because it's not, you know, I'm not in that community. But I think in general, with other cases that I've seen, where it's, I think we just love to do that, especially public figures. There's a tendency to sort of, were they good or were they bad? It's like, well, you can't really.
But I feel like there are shades of gray. Like, they're saying you're canceled is how you would say that to someone. But there are people, like, for example, Justin Trudeau, Jimmy Fallon, Vanessa Hudgens, who have come back from being canceled.
Well, that's good to hear. I just don't really,
Like, I forgot that Vanessa Hudgens was canceled.
Yeah, me too, until I saw it in the article.
And so I do feel like there is some leeway there. Like, if you're canceled, I guess it depends on what you did and the circumstance and your apology, but it's not always final.
Yeah, it definitely depends on how you react to it. Also, like, I don't remember Vanessa Hudgens apologizing at all. She probably, hopefully did, but I don't remember seeing anything about it. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
so if someone can, like, come back from that.
Yeah. That's weird, yeah.
Then if she did come back from that, like, is cancel culture working in the way it's supposed to? I don't know.
That's a Sydney. What are you trying to do, man? You trying to cause a crisis now?
Sydney brought another layer to the party.
Just saying, guys.
But that's actually a good point, because I think that's what we're all trying to say, too, is it effective in what it's intended to do, which is cause change and hold people accountable? Is it doing that? Are we seeing people trying to move in a more positive direction? I mean, that's something that you can, like, talk about. And I think it might be too soon to say, because I feel like it's a relative new movement in a way. I don't know. I mean, it's been around for a while, but I think we're seeing it a lot more.
And I've seen, like, XYZ is canceled.
Yeah.
Like, trending on Twitter and stuff like that. Yeah.
So I guess time will tell. But I mean, I mean, it's definitely doing something. You know, hopefully more than just making people scared.
Yeah.
You know, that's not, I don't think, very productive, but
I think they're labeling it as being scared, but it's kind of more like, think before you speak and maybe educate yourself on things. And these people are so used to just being able to do anything that they're like, oh, you mean I have to, like, do an extra step before I say something or do something or support something? And it's like, yeah, you actually do, like everybody else. I think it's valid in the sense that maybe you're scared because you've never had to do it before, but it is something that you should always have been doing.
I agree. I think that's a really good outcome of it, because even myself, like, I'm by no means in the public eye. Like, no one really sees what I don't even post anything, but I think just seeing what's happening on these platforms as, like, an outsider in a way makes me think twice about just saying something, even to my friends or anybody. Like, I think, well, do I actually know what I'm talking about? Like, is this gonna come out the right way,
or is it hurtful?
Is it hurtful anyway? Like, it makes you just double think, because that is the culture that you're constantly seeing, even if you're not the one being called out necessarily. Like, that's definitely a positive byproduct, I would say.
I have an interesting thought. What about companies that have been canceled? Can you think of any companies?
There definitely have been a lot of companies that have been canceled. I don't know if canceled is the right word, but, like, are very unethical and people know about.
Yeah.
That?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they all went through, like, scandals, I guess. Like, Facebook with the whole privacy thing with Mark Zuckerberg.
But they bounce back. Can you think of a company that...
They're too big to fail.
Yeah, that's true. I can't think of any big companies. Well, American Apparel, but they just went bankrupt. But I don't know if it was because people stopped buying from them.
Abercrombie and Fitch went through a whole thing with, like, the fact they explicitly said they only gear their clothing towards a certain, like, size. Same with Lululemon.
Victoria's Secret, though, too.
Well, they quit their fashion show, which is something that's interesting. True. They stopped doing that. Yeah. But, I mean, when Jeff Bezos cheated, that was, like...
He did?
On his wife?
Oh, my God, Yuki. I'm so behind.
Yuki!
Oh, my goodness.
That was the biggest scandal of, like, when was that, 2019?
They had an affair, and then they got divorced.
I knew they got divorced, but I thought it was just because he was
No, it was a huge thing.
Oh, my God, I'm so out of it.
But Amazon didn't get canceled for that. It was
every day Amazon is canceled.
They're canceled, but they're thriving.
Like, I know I shouldn't support Amazon, but it's so convenient. It's just so hard not to. Right. Also, with COVID, it's so much easier to just order stuff online.
Yeah, totally. But, yeah. I mean, Amazon, it's just... There are these things that, as people, we're not really willing to sacrifice our, like, convenience for.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Amy. It's kind of the same thing about celebrities, too. Like, if you were a fan of, like, an artist who got canceled or something like that, would you prioritize your entertainment for, like...
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough because, again, like, do you disassociate what they created from who they are as a person? And I think with artists, it's a little bit... That's a different situation, right? Because with someone who's, say... like, not an artist, I don't know, a figure of some kind, it's easier to, like, be like, okay, I'm not gonna, like, a news anchor or something like that. You know, there's been cases where they've been fired. Or, like, The Bachelor,
stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like, okay, well, you're off my screen. Like, I don't need to support you in any way. But with people like actors or musicians where you love their work, it's a whole nother layer because you're attached to that work and not necessarily the person. So that's like where it gets really tough.
That's why everyone was saying like, oh, Harry Potter was written by Daniel Radcliffe. It wasn't written by J.K. Rowling. Yeah.
The actor.
Honestly, he did some heavy lifting.
He kind of did.
So
they all did. The cast was so good.
But Daniel did more than...
He had more lines.
He did have more lines, I would say that.
He had more screen time.
He had a bit more screen time.
He touched his hands.
I touched where his hands touched.
That's good enough, man. I love that. I watched a rom-com with him in it recently.
What? I don't like that.
No,
it's so weird. I can't watch anything.
Yeah. Guys, no.
I watched, what's the one with him?
Support his career.
Where he's an angel. He has enough money. I don't need to.
Yeah, honestly.
What's, I know it's not The Good Place. It's, what is it called?
It's a TV Miracle show, Workers. Right? Yeah, I don't know. That doesn't sound good.
No, it's Miracle Workers.
I know, but the show doesn't sound good.
I couldn't watch it because he was, like, supposed to be an angel who was, like, super disorganized and making wishes for humans and stuff like that. And I was like, no, this really? Is Harry. This is so weird.
Dude, yeah, he's in Now You See Me Too.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I can't look at
him. He's like the villain.
Poor guy. He's probably so hates being typecast.
Every time he came on screen, I was like, I don't believe you. I know what your parents, like, and you went through. Like, I know you, and this isn't you. This isn't you.
I know who you are.
He was also on Broadway.
He was on Broadway. Yeah. He was naked on Broadway. Did you know that?
Oh. I don't want to know that.
He had like a totally nude scene on Broadway.
He really said, that's like Miley Cyrus stepping up from Hannah Montana to becoming. Like,
yeah,
Daniel. He's like, I'm no longer Harry Potter. I'm naked and I'm ready.
Yeah. I don't know. It's very difficult with things like that. I think it's just you have a little inner moral crisis every time.
But, and then like so many companies make it hard, like Forever 21 and Shein and stuff
The fast fashion industry, like
Target even.
There needs to be more accountability there for sure. Like let's use some of that energy on that too, because it's really bad.
But it makes sense to me, like going back to the anger that we talked about. It's easier to look at a person and say you are the problem and your actions are the problem, whereas like Shein, you don't know, like, they're in China.
It's just
you
a don't Sheen know. Versus, yeah, like, one specific person.
I was going to say, I actually was listening to a podcast where this kind of came up, and they were saying that we too often, like, look at the people as being at fault, but really, what if it's, like, society that's at fault? Like, we are all products of society. We all are all products of where we grew up, of how we were raised, of the values we were given. So in a sense, we should be looking at the root cause of all of these things, right? Which is, I mean, we are doing, but like looking at it at a systemic viewpoint rather than just going after individuals, which like, sure, yeah, there's a benefit to that, but we should also be making sure that we're understanding why are these things happening. Really addressing what's going on as a society could be potentially more effective than targeting.
But I think cancel culture is the start to that.
Hopefully.
Like, it's not, it's still doing something. And even if it's just to, quote unquote, make an example out of someone, it's a start. And maybe for some people, that's as deep as they're willing to go right now.
Sure.
Which at least is better than nothing. Obviously, it's not ideal, but like, if you want to see action actually being taken, like if you're someone that needs immediate gratification, cancel culture is something that provides that. Mm-hmm. Looking at things systematically, I agree, is something we absolutely need to do. But it's hard for people to like see that progress because it's so slow.
Yeah,
so, like,
totally.
Cancel culture adds to that and it makes people feel a bit better about, like, look at all these people who are actually trying to move forward and, mm-hmm. and in the right way.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a good, well, okay. I think it's definitely a start in that direction, hopefully.
Who did you wish didn't need to be canceled?
Who who did you like a lot and then
who was I disappointed in the most? Disappointed in. I mean, that's such a hard, there's so many. Just on the whole, the Bachelor franchise, I'm just disappointed in.
I feel like that's been building up.
Not because I love The Bachelor, because so many people are invested in it and it's such a huge influence. I'm really disappointed in the things that have continued to happen, and everyone knows that it's a problem and has been a problem. Like, that's not something that's been hidden at all. But it took this long for the whole franchise to kind of fall apart is like kind of sad. And it makes you realize that so many of the things that they did were performative, like having the first Black Bachelorette a few years ago, like,
which in and of itself, like the first one out of all those years. No, that
was sad. But then after that, it was kind of like they were done with it. They were like, well, we've proved now that we care about diversity. So we're going to have like a few people of color on the show who don't really get much screen time at all. Like, it's disappointing that they're still as big as they are, I think.
Yeah. And also what always irked me about like The Bachelor and stuff was the body types of every single one of those girls. Like, I get it. That's,
oh yeah,
that's, you know, what people want to see. You're like, no one's going to watch it if it's not whatever. But it's just like really got like so not a realistic representation of the female population.
Yeah, that's just how the that's just what the show is.
I like, know, but it's like so frustrating. Like, clearly they only go after certain types of girls, and it's like, really, guys, it's 2020. Like, let's diversify. It's
2021.
I'm so sorry. Let's diversify our pool a little bit.
They won't.
They won't.
Yeah.
I wonder who do you think is going to be the new host?
I think if ABC had their way, I think Rachel Lindsay would be the host.
Isn't she like so but over the franchise?
She will not do it. I know she won't.
If I were her, I wouldn't do it
either. I don't know anybody, any person of color that wants to touch that franchise anymore. So many people are like just done with it and have already distanced themselves, and so I can't imagine.
As
I
mean, they should. Know.
Yeah,
totally.
What? Okay, super random question.
Go
for it. In your head, what would be the perfect dating show? Like, what would you want to watch on a dating show?
Oh my god.
Because like there's so many random ones like Love at First Sight or whatever that are so weird. But yeah, like what would intrigue you?
I thought Love is Blind was a cool concept.
Sorry, yeah.
I thought that was a cool concept. I don't think that they executed it in the way that would make it the most effective.
Yeah, I agree.
But the idea was good.
And that one couple are still together and they're so cute.
Cameron.
Yeah.
Barnett and Amber are also still together.
They scare me.
And also
they are a lot.
Giannina and Damien. Still together.
Okay, so it was effective. Yeah. It's three couples. Another one that I personally thought is a cool concept is Married at First Sight, which is like so entertaining.
That scares me.
Wait, wasn't that Love is Blind? Oh no, because
Love is Blind, they talk in a pod or something.
Oh, the pods.
The pods.
I love that. That's so fun. Kind of scary though. I wouldn't do it.
It's so awkward watching them see each other for the first time.
Yeah,
I just really feel like I'm like not supposed to be seeing it. But Married at First Sight was a really cool concept. It's just very entertaining, things like that, where it's something that you would never do, but you just want to watch other people go.
Yeah, that's why like I never got into The Bachelor, because it was like just kind of basic, I guess. Like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, you like it, like it's definitely entertaining, but I think all these new fun shows like Love is Blind, like it's funky. What was the other one where they're all like
Too Hot to Handle?
Yeah, Too Hot to Handle.
Yeah, I like ones where
I would never do it, but it's so funny.
I like
they're
ones
so entertaining. Yeah,
where there's like money involved, because then people get real ruthless.
Yeah,
or like there's some kind of like game aspect to it. Those are really fun.
Yeah,
like The Amazing Race, when they would do like the couple ones too.
Yes,
are they still doing The Amazing Race?
The Amazing Race is still going on. When Ricky and I went to Texas in November, we watched it. They're on their 32nd season.
Why am I not? I feel like
No, they're still going. Yeah, wow. Yeah. But any last thoughts on a new dating show out there that you'd like to see?
What do you want to executive produce, man?
Love is Blind, but longer time frame. I think that's just the biggest thing.
It was pretty
so
short.
Rushed, yeah. Which I understand. Okay, it's TV. We don't want to see things move so slowly, but just cut it out.
I see what you're saying. I think it would be cool to see an actual real life dating show where it's like slowed down.
Yeah, I was going to say, what if they did one about like some kind of incorporating online dating or something? That would be funny. I don't know how that would work.
It'd be called like Swipe Right or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that.
Yeah,
I think you should bring that to a network.
I would want to see one that's like a food dating show. I feel like that'd be cool.
What would that look like?
I don't know, like a mix of like a food competition, but it's like if your food sucks, like you're out or something. New idea. Oh, okay, God. We have someone where they do, you remember those compelled Valentine's Day love tests at Gunn?
Yes.
That you would have to do? Yeah. It's one of those, like they would take a compatibility test or something, uh-huh. and then like you'd see if it was actually accurate, and you'd see if people are like lying and figuring out like writing what they want to see or something like that. I don't know. It's really very basic. It's not in the works yet.
It's still in the brainstorming phase.
I need something that's like realistic but not so realistic enough where there's not drama.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
We'd bring the drama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay tuned for all of our shows coming out soon.
And please don't cancel us. Thanks guys for tuning in.
Yes, don't cancel us. We're just having a discussion. All right, guys. See ya.